Welcome
we
to
on?
Our yes, we are
we
on
are
and
on.
Welcome okay. to our first podcast of
How to Video.
We wanted to get started with how do you get started with filmmaking? Which I'd say most people want to make a living out of it, or they have this dream, and you and I have the joy of being able to call this our career. How did you get started, John?
Well, I got started in a very, very weird way, actually. So I was in graduate school, graduating.
And what were you studying?
I was studying my Master of Science in Information System.
Oh, look at
computers,
you.
Completely okay. unrelated to filmmaking, right? It's graduation, and my mom bought me a camera and asked me to record the graduation.
Interesting.
Yeah. It has a...
What camera was it?
It was a Canon, the one that looks vertical. I don't even remember the...
Vertical as in those that you...
Yes, you hold it vertically, which is okay. a big no-no this... today to film vertically.
But back then, that
yeah, it doesn't
probably...
film vertically, it film horizontally.
This
but
is tape. We're talking about tape.
It's DV tape.
It's DV tape.
Yes.
So
digital video
So
tape.
You did get to experience tape.
I got to experience TIP. I also got to experience Windows Movie Maker
okay.
with Windows 98.
And for those who don't know about the Windows Movie Maker, this is very rustic editing tools.
Yes, this is the Guantanamo of editing software. Where everything is against you.
And looking in perspective, it's not as easy as today.
No.
So
I even have to buy a separate card for my PC so that it will transfer FireWire, so it will transfer the footage, right? And then the way you transfer the footage is you play on the camera, and then the computer will try to capture the playback and save it into a hard drive.
So it had to be live
it has
as
to
you're
be
playing,
live.
Transferred. No such thing as compression,
no. You have a
five-minute
no.
upload.
You have a 90-minute DV tape, you transfer 90 minutes. And if something goes wrong in the middle, if it goes wrong in minute 89, you have to start over.
And this would happen, I'm guessing, not
this
just
is the
once.
Guantanamo of software.
So you got started by, could you say, I guess, accident, a little bit more of coincidence. And what was your experience doing it? What did you like? Do you remember a little bit about, I don't know, what did you like about it? Zooming in, zooming out?
I guess it's coming from the computer person.
Oh.
Right, so the editing part, it's mostly, like I said, you have to buy a PCI card, and I mean, that's the tech side of the whole process. And then you have to have the software, and then you started to learn, like, hey, you know, you cut your editing and stuff. I guess that's how I got intrigued by that from the software side, the IT side.
Interesting, so once you started editing what you filmed, you realized you had a knack for making sense out of this data, if you may.
Yeah. So it's sort of like I started filmmaking by editing. Editing the footage that I captured. Of course, I didn't know what I was editing.
So your brain started shooting, this is fun, when you started importing it into the computer.
Yes. And I also, at that time, I live in a very small town where there's really nothing going on.
Tell me about this little small town.
It's Tupelo, Mississippi.
Tupelo, Mississippi.
Where Elvis Presley was born, actually.
Ooh. Yeah.
So,
okay.
But it was really nothing there, and I have to occupy my time. And that was it. That was if I'm not working my full-time job, and then that was my...
What was your full-time job?
I was teaching IT, computer programming, and computer networking for the University of Mississippi back then.
Interesting and impressive. And by the way, for those who are listening and saying, what does this have to do with getting started in film? I think it has everything to do with filmmaking, because maybe sometimes people have to ask themselves, why are you getting into this? You know, because it's...
Yeah.
I think both you and I have had this sometimes, this frustration that sometimes you want to help someone out and they're almost like, no, I know everything. Or and deep down inside you go like, wouldn't you want to, like, I wish I had somebody to mentor me into this. I didn't have anybody mentor me. I was given a camera as a gift. My brother gave me a camera.
Oh, there you go. So we have something in common.
So I was given a camera. It was a Panasonic. Yeah. It was also a DV tape and it was handheld. But get this, it had a fish eye lens adapter. So it was, whoa.
So you were shooting skateboarding videos all day.
No, interesting enough, what I started doing was just asking questions to my family, just getting people into, I don't think it was uncomfortable, just having genuine conversations with them while I was filming them. I even remember like a girlfriend saying, can you please just stop recording? For some reason, I was just enjoying filmmaking. So in your case, you loved the editing. In my case, I loved engaging with people and filming. Little did I know that that would take on a documentary-like focus, which to this day, let's try to connect the pieces a little before we go full into pricing or how to get into the business. But what do you do today that has to do with filmmaking? So somebody's hearing going like, oh, why should I be listening to these stories?
Well, I think everybody got into filmmaking in a different way, right? I mean,
but what is it today? Tell us about Lucky Studio and video production here in Idaho, which, by the way, we're at the foothills. We have a really beautiful scenery. This amazing hill overlooking the city of Boise, and this happens to be our home.
Yes, Idaho. Yes, Boise, Idaho.
So Lucky 13 Studio in Idaho. Tell us about that job today, so we start connecting the pieces.
So I haven't. Yeah. So as I've grown, and you know, starting from editing, and then now. Of course, you're in a small town. You don't have hardly anybody else that is in the industry. There's no industry in Tupelo, Mississippi about filming. And thank God there was the internet back then. So I have to learn from the internet. And, you know, started to learn from the internet, get to know a lot of people, talk to them. Sometimes if they have job passing through Tupelo, you know, they will come in, I will volunteer to work with them. The one good thing about Tupelo, Mississippi is that that's where Elvis Presley was born.
So there's a lot of tourism.
There's a lot of people that want to do a documentary about Elvis, they're going to come to Tupelo.
And how did you go from filming your graduation to saying, hey, this might turn into something more?
Well, that's when I first started to work with the city of Tupelo, the tourism department.
Interesting.
They always want something to, they always want the media, right? To promote the city, to promote people to come in. And also my friend owns an advertising agency. One of our advertising agencies in town. So if you start in a small town, it's kind of easy because you can grow to be well known. If you produce good work, you know, you can be well known pretty quick.
Or I'm guessing also very social. Today you introduced me to
Dom.
To Dom
at Tricycle.
At Tricycle
over
here.
At the North End, yeah.
Which, by the way, you seem very social. We'll probably get to this later, but being human, being a relatable human, is very key to filmmaking. Or at least, I'm just going to throw it out there. Something tells me that you might see this as, well, it's easy. But I'm seeing you're an easy person. You know, I see how kind you were. People were opening their doors. That must be a quality that made this easy for you.
Well, the filmmaking industry is a people industry.
Ah.
It's always about, you know, being good to people, having good work experience with people, and when next time they have a gig, they will come and if you do good work, they will come and rehire you, right? Just like me and you. I mean, we've been friends for a long time.
Yes, yes,
right?
we have.
And when you have gigs, sometimes you don't need me. That's fine, right? Sometimes you have big project that you need me, and you're going to call me.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So that is the relationship that you still have to maintain. But sometimes people just have this mentality of, if I have a gig, if somebody has a gig, it means that I'm losing a gig. So I think that's kind of like a toxic environment.
Oh, interesting. So there's envy of a type, or maybe jealousy. It's almost like if somebody else is doing well, that's subtracting to me, as opposed to saying, hey, there must be a pie for everyone.
In psychology, they call it the starving mentality.
Oh.
Like when you careful
with psychology, because that's I went to grad school for psychology.
You did?
Yes.
I did not know that.
Oh, I did not know you went to IT.
Okay.
So our backgrounds were kind of, that's the last thing you'd ever think somebody went to do film for.
Yeah, it's always, especially in a small town when you don't have much industry, you know. It's really important to maintain good relationship and help each other out.
I see that in your character, and I think that's going to be as we continue having this conversation. I think it's a repetitive theme. Sometimes it's not about your tools; it's about you.
Yeah.
Because we'll get to this later about what happens when there's conflict. And boy, is there conflict and problems when there's filmmaking, simply because of the nature of making a limited amount of time and making something happen with limited resources, which is time, people's time. Before we get to that, when was the first time you exchanged filmmaking for whether it was an item or an amount?
Our podcast will continue in the next episode. How to video.